time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On the day Danny Roll has his first Rangers press conference, the new head coach says he's focused on delivering wins quickly and isn't concerned about appearing to not be first choice. Patrick Stewart defends the process as Kevin Thelwell defends the hiring of his son, and the Europa League debut is only 2 days away, with Celtic also facing a big game of their own. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me, two men for the big occasion, Gordon Dalziel and Hugh Keevans.
I'm still not sure I know why Danny Roll was on the managerial shortlist last week and then withdrew and is now the head coach this week, but he's here and he's subject to normal scrutiny. If he wins games, he's fine. If he doesn't, he's toast, like Russell Martin. But with three lots of blah, blah, blah over Steven Gerrard, Kevin Muscat, and now Danny Roll, it's all about the 36-year-old who's become Rangers' youngest ever boss and had just 38 games as a manager. And we'll know an awful lot more about him, Daz, on Thursday night in Norway.
Yeah, never a dull moment in Scottish football, I've got to say. Saturday, we were all looking forward to probably the announcement that Kevin Muscat was going to come into the building. That didn't happen. They went for what, second, third, fourth, whatever you want to call them, choice. Listen, I wish the lad all the very best. He's got to come in, he's got to get results. My big problem is the process, what's going on up above at Rangers. And you've got to question that, because it's not very good reading at all. Then you look at on the pitch, talk about new manager coming in, have to get a tune out of them. I don't know if they're a tune in this team, to be quite honest with you. I look across the city at a poor, poor Celtic side. But all credit to Dundee and Dundee United for the results. Falkirk, brilliant against Motherwell. Hearts are flying, absolute flying. St Mirren, disappointing against Aberdeen, but we're all looking forward already. Forget Europe, I'm looking forward to Tynecastle the weekend.
Champions elect Hearts, is that what you're talking
That's
about?
The one, Shoe. I'm starting to believe in you.
0141-951-1025. Rangers fans, what did you make of Danny Roll's first ever Rangers press conference? They say first impressions are important. So what are your first impressions of the new head coach? It was always going to be quite an interesting day where, of course, he gets the focus and being the main man, but a lot of the perhaps more pertinent questions go to those who hired them, those who seemingly tried to hire other people before him, and those who hired and then dismissed Russell Martin. So Andrew Kavanagh spoke today, admitted that they got it wrong, outlined the reasons why Danny Roll was going to be the best man for the job. He says not only has he got the right idea in terms of tactics, they believe he can put them across onto the pitch, they believe they've got the right man manager, and he believes that he gets it, which is obviously an important factor here in Glasgow. Patrick Stewart, the chief executive, spoke as well, defended the process, sort of sidestepped questions, if you like, about the fact that there seemed to be other choices ahead of Danny Rowle, and said that they met a number of good candidates and now they've appointed one. Kevin Thelwell, he was in the firing line as well, asked about recruitment, asked about hiring his own son. Lots going on there at Ibrox today. So I'm sure lots of you have heard bits of it, and if you have, fly straight in right now, give us your reaction. Were you convinced? Were you won over by what you heard? Are there still some questions unanswered for you? Do let us know. 01419511025. And of course we'll play the best bits, the highlights, if you like, as this goes on between now and 8 o'clock. So Hugh Keevans, give us your most general overview, because like I said, there are loads of specifics to get through, and we'll pick over the words and whether the answers were convincing or not. But your first impressions?
I thought Andrew Kavanagh, Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thelwell at various stages looked startled by what has taken place since they assumed control of the club. Andrew Kavanagh, honest enough to say straight away, it had not gone as they had envisioned, to use his word. But he also said you have to own it and you have to rectify it. So he was fine. I didn't quite get Kevin Thelwell on all of the things he had to say. I was sceptical about the remark that he has never signed a player the head coach didn't want. I'm not sure about that at all. And I think Patrick Stewart looked like a man who was taken aback by some of the things that have gone on since the season started. So they've got a lot to do, and they have got to hope that they have the right man in place. As I say, I think Danny Rowle looked a little overcome by everything in the Ibrox press room. But then again, 48 hours ago, he's an unemployed man. And now he's in charge of a club in the city where there is absolutely no forgiveness, no long term in Glasgow, only short fuses.
I did notice he was introduced as Danny Rowle when he came to the press conference. Will we ever manage to make that stick in Glasgow? I fear not. I'll probably forget to do it as well, but let's see how we go. Let's set the scene, first of all. Let's hear from him. The German says he's happy to be at Ibrox and claims he's not concerned with his apparent position in the club's apparent managerial pecking order.
And it's amazing to be part here, to be now the head coach of this fantastic club. I know what that means, and I think I will feel this in the next couple of days and weeks more and more. But my job is clear, that our fans go home and they like to watch football games. They entertain the football and winning games. And this is, I think, also important to understand the order. At first, you have to win games. Then we can speak about play attractive football. And if you do these points in this order, then we have straighter togetherness with our fans again. You can be the first, the second or the third choice. Important is that you win the next games and then you have to go forward. Yeah, I think this is the reason why I'm here. For me, it's not a situation, because I'm sure and I'm honest to you, I cannot tell you which choice I'm. I cannot just tell you that I'm here, and it gives me the belief that I was the first choice. Yeah, and with this direction, I want to go forward.
Justin is first through on the line. What do you think, Justin? What are your first impressions?
First impressions is just the whole thing has been a dynasty episode. Do you know what I mean? I genuinely feel sorry for Rowle for two reasons. I think he's on a wee bit of hiding to nothing, and the fact that he's going to get even less time than Martin did, because again, he's deemed as not the first choice, even though the first choice is Martin. I think he's a decent coach. All the reports are that he's a very good coach, very good with players. But I still don't think he's going to get the time that he's maybe going to need. It's been very clear that for not just the majority of the Rangers fans, but for the board and for Kavanagh and for Murat, that Gerrard was the first choice on both occasions. And something, whether it's Thelwell, whether it's the structure, or he didn't want to play second fiddle, no matter what it is, he's no liked it. Muscat's no liked it for whatever reason either. I think Rangers fans now at this point are fed up with talking. they're fed up hearing stories, they're fed up hearing one-liners or clickbait, you know, crest-grabbing lines. They just want somebody to go in and actually do the job now. I don't think they really care who it is at this point. What Wall said, he just needs to start winning and the team needs to start performing. That's all that's going to matter now. Nothing else at the moment.
And in fairness, Hugh, he at least sounds like he understands that, you know, the stuff about philosophies and styles and all that sounds like it can wait. He acknowledges it has to win straight away. I also get where Justin's coming from, you know, the talk is cheap and we've sort of heard this stuff before, but look, it was a press conference. He has to speak. He has to say
course,
something.
Yeah.
And I think on that regard, he said the right things in terms of just, you know, trying to prioritise winning above everything else.
This has been a whirlwind for him because I listened to Andrew on Sunday night with Jim Duffy and Marvin. And by the end of the programme, Andrew was telling everyone that the Muscat deal was off. That's 7 o'clock on Sunday evening. By 7 o'clock on Monday evening, Danny Rule was the head coach. So clearly, Rangers have been sparked into life by whatever happened between them and Kevin Muscat. But Justin's correct. We've had all that. Maybe one day it'll come out why Kevin Muscat turned it down, and 24 hours later, a man who had withdrawn from the race was back in as the head coach. But all that matters is the time between now and the 2nd of November. Bran in Norway, Thursday night. Kilmarnock, Ibrox, Sunday. Hibs, Easter Road, midweek. Then Celtic, Premier Sports Cup semi-final. Danny Rule has 4 games, Europe, League and Cup. And he will know all right what life is like in this part of the world by the time those 4 games are over.
Justin's theory, Gordon, is that he's under pressure straight away and perhaps gets even less leeway than Russell Martin. Do you agree, or can you? Has that shifted a bit? Has the bar changed now where the focus and the scrutiny actually goes on the board a bit more, or Kevin Thelwell or Patrick Stewart or whoever, and actually maybe Danny Rule specifically gets a bit, I don't know if sympathy is the right word, but I do feel like the Rangers fans are certainly wanting to back him.
Yeah, listen, I would brand him a hero because, let's be honest here, if he had have kept himself out the running of this job, Rangers had nowhere to turn. They'd nowhere to turn whatsoever. They'd put all their eggs in the one basket and they come up with absolutely nothing. They went back to a guy who withdrew. Now, he's in the building. I think you've got to be fair to him. I think you've got to give him every opportunity. We can't have a case of Rangers just continually getting managers in, not good enough, sacking them. What I liked right away was his press conference. He highlighted that a lot of managers, stroke coaches come in, talk about the style of play and how they're going to get fans off their seats and entertainment. He speaks right away, win games. And if you win games, you can get away with a lot of things. That's what he's got to concentrate on. Attractive football, I'll come after that. But look, it gets off to a bad start. Yes, he will come under a little bit of pressure. But I think the Rangers fans have just got to realise now, right, he's in the building. Give the guy a chance. Give him an opportunity to show what he can do.
Well, thank you to Justin for his thoughts. Let's hear from Chairman Andrew Cavan outlining why he feels this is the right appointment.
We are happy to have Danny here as our head coach. I think Danny will be incredibly successful here at Rangers, and I think that for 3 reasons. The first is that we were incredibly impressed by his ability to take tactics and actually make them happen on the pitch. I think a lot of people talk about tactics, but you have to actually deliver them on the field, and we're very confident that Danny can do that. The second thing is man management. I think Danny will bring out the best of every one of our players, and that we will soon see the best version of each of them. And the third is that while Danny is new to this organization, I think he gets it and has the ability to create a bond with our supporters, which is so important. He knows that winning is the only option. He knows that winning has to happen right away. And he knows he has to create that bond with our supporters. He is confident. He is technical. And I think he will probably hide it from you a little bit over the next 24 hours. but he also has a little bit of an edge to him, and I think that will serve him well.
Okay, let's get the thoughts of John on what's been said today. John, how do you feel?
Basically, probably just a lot of other Rangers fans, so hi for having us on. Just listen to the American chairman's going on about we've got everything to play for. The league's gone. Okay, we've still got the Scottish Cup and we've got the League Cup. Regarding Europe, don't hold much hope for that. But the league is gone. An American chairman's coming out with this nonsense to try and please the fans, to try and pacify us all. It's absolute nonsense. The manager that I've got in now, through the understanding, for what we all know, is probably the fourth, third choice, whatever, right? Patrick Stewart and the other fella is basically, they're the ones that I think is behind the Gerrard and Muscat refusing the job. Let's not kid ourselves. I think it's quite clear. Without it being all factual, I think that's the whole idea. It looks like these guys don't want to work with these guys. And then another boy bringing in his son. So the whole thing is absolutely shambolic and we're a laughing stock, and I just don't know how we're going to be moving forward.
If
that makes sense.
If I were Andrew Cabinet, I would have left out the bit about Danny will be incredibly successful here. You know, just keep it toned down a little bit and give the man a chance. He's got to convince people like John, and he's also got to come into the job contradicting John, not believing that the season has gone, the league season has gone. He's got 30 games as Rangers head coach in which to prove that is not the case. As I say, I would not have said he'll be incredibly successful here because these sound bites live with you. But by the same token, Danny Rowe has got to come in believing that the league season has not gone.
I've got a bit of sympathy for them all, Gordon, in the sense that, like we mentioned there, look, it's a press conference. You have to say something. And actually, the scale of the mistakes that have been made can't be fixed by words. Mm-hmm. So it was impossible to put a plaster over everything just by what you say today. However, the sympathy can only extend so far because Andrew Cavanagh can outline all these reasons as to why he thinks Danny Rule's going to be brilliant, but not brilliant enough to get the job ahead of Russell Martin in the summer. And I'm sure all these things were kind of said about, you know, Russell Martin. So look, he is in a no-win situation. I'm not trying to hang him on that because you're going to have to put a bit of faith, a public show of faith in the guy that you've hired. You have to try and say the right things. But I also get why fans like John can only really, you know, take so much from it.
Yeah, I've no sympathy whatsoever for them. I think they've been an absolute shambles. They come in with a structure. They come in, they gave Rangers fans false hope for me. They picked the wrong appointment right away. Their transfer window has been, for me, terrible. I look at that squad, 13 players brought in, and none of them excite me. Kasama sometimes lights up the room a little bit, but not consistent enough, but there's still time. And I know that people say, oh, a new manager will get a tune out of these players.
Well, to be fair, that's
I don't think they're a tune in them.
But that has to be the hope, though. They're eight, what are they, sixth at the moment?
Yeah.
So the bar's pretty low in terms of just trying to get an improvement there.
Yeah, but it's okay saying, look, all the pressure was off them from the Russell Martin, the fact that he left, he gets sacked. And you look at Stephen Smith probably went out and says to them before he went out on the pitch on Saturday, listen, guys, you're experienced international footballers. Yeah, now go and show everybody what you can do. Show these fans what sort of players you are. The shackles are off. Russell Martin's away. Second half, they were diabolical. And all credit to Dundee United. I know that you can argue first half they played very well. The game's over 90 plus minutes. I could be proven wrong. There's no chance they'll win the league. Right, absolutely no chance. They'll struggle to catch Hearts. Now, I'm with you there now. You're looking at Hearts and they're in a great position. Long, long way to go still. I still think Celtic, I'll pip it, but they need to improve. It's not good enough.
Andrew Cavanagh today, very personable, articulate, but he must know that the young man sitting beside him is his last hope. Because the Rangers fans have watched 49ers Enterprises, Kevin Telwell and Patrick Stewart make one mistake after another. And I shudder to think where they go from here if Danny Rowe doesn't succeed.
Is it? I mean, John, once we look beyond the process though and how we got here and things that have gone on in the background, does that really change the fact that Danny Rowe might go in and do a really good job?
Well, do you know what? It might be a hidden gem. It might be one of these guys that goes in, like Ange when he came to Celtic. Nobody really heard much about him. He done really, really well when he came to Celtic. So look, maybe with his background, as far as I'm led to believe, Bayern Munich, Bayer Leverkusen, being around about the national German team, might have some players within the German league that they can bring to Ibrox. But do you know something? What I really feel sorry for is all the Rangers fans that goes and pays their hard-earned cash to turn up and watch this week in, week out and get false hopes from the chairman, because him listening to him today was nonsense. Absolute, just utter fake. It was poor.
Which particular part?
Well, won the part saying that we've still got everything to play for. Right? That in itself is nonsense. Absolute. Just try to brush over the cracks.
How would you have felt if he had said, do you know what, gentlemen, here's Danny, but we've got no chance at all this season? How would you have felt if he'd approached it from that angle?
I would rather he turned around and get shot at Patrick Stewart and the other guy that's spending $10 million on a player that we've not even seen. That's what he's kidding on the fans. That's who we need to get shot at. That's why probably Kevin Muscat and Gerrard not back the job, if the truth be known, because they weren't prepared to work under these two puppets.
Well, plenty more to come on that front, because Patrick Stewart was asked about the process that led to today's unveiling of Danny Rowe, and you can hear what he had to say when we return.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL are here largely reacting to everything that was said today at Ibrox. And there was a lot said from Danny Rowe as he was introduced. I don't know if it'll catch on. Kevin Thelwell, Patrick Stewart, Andrew Kavanagh. It was a bumper lineup for the press conference today. And as far as I'm led to believe, still more to hear from them tomorrow, actually, as well. So you can enjoy that as the week progresses. Let's hear from Patrick Stewart, because the elephant in the room was always going to be how we got here today. Steven Gerrard, Kevin Muscat, Danny Rowe out, then back in. It came up a couple of times. It was sort of dodged by everyone, really. And Patrick Stewart insisting the club have hired the right guy after that public recruitment process.
We've got who we wanted to appoint in terms of Danny, so that's what we got to look to in terms of the process. We spoke to a number of different people. Some names ended up in the media, others didn't. We cannot comment on confidential discussions, and equally we cannot control what others may say in the media or in briefings for whatever agenda they have. So to that extent, yes, I can understand that on the outside it might look as though the process has gone awry, but we went in and had discussions with a number of very credible candidates and we got one of those over the line.
Might be credible candidates, but that's not a credible answer.
You're not having that?
No. He said we got who we wanted to appoint. That's not true. That's simply not true. They wanted Steven Gerrard. And when Steven Gerrard was over and done with and Danny Rowe had withdrawn his name from the list, they were inches away from getting Kevin Muscat. And everyone was prepared for the arrival of Kevin Muscat. And we knew that there was a contingency plan in place to put Neil McCann in until Muscat could get here. So I'm afraid, for me, personal opinion, that's not a credible answer.
I don't think you're the only one. I don't think any Rangers supporting the land will be swallowing that. But look, I can understand it. He's got to give an answer. Mm-hmm. He's got to come out with a positive, talking about they feel that they've got the right man.
And he's not going to say, oh, by the way, Steven Gerrard pulled out because of this and Kevin Muscat pulled out because of that.
See where his big problem lies with this conversation is his right man distanced himself from the job about 3 or 4 days ago and pulled himself out.
Yeah, I mean, he was asked about that. And again, I keep saying this. I don't know why I'm all sympathetic tonight. Like, he was always going to try and deflect 100%. A bit. And he was asked, Danny, can you basically explain why you were out of the running, now you're back in? And he just said that the important thing is that I'm here.
The big thing's quite simple, and I can understand him and Kevin Thelwell coming out with all the stories that hopefully Rangers fans will listen to, because they two right now are probably under more criticism than probably Russell Martin was before he left.
Danny Rule's sitting there with the chairman, the chief exec and the director of football. Not his place to describe what happened behind the scenes. It's their responsibility, and the CEO didn't come up with a credible answer.
Alan is on the line. What's your take on all of this stuff, Alan?
All right, guys. Just firstly, on Kevin Thelwell, and I think I agree with the panel totally. Kevin Thelwell and Patrick Stewart, if they were to tell me it was raining outside, I would still check out the window and see even if it was raining, because you just don't trust what they've got to say. But one of the things I picked up with on Danny Rowe's interview was the thing that he said, right? And he said it straight away, we have to win, and no matter what way we do it, we have to win, and then we'll worry about a play style. I think what we got a lot with Russell Martin was there was always a process, there wasn't it? We need to have this there just to win straight off the bat. And I think that's obviously, it gives a positive. Again, we have to be obviously a wee bit sceptical. Yeah, he's been a good assistant manager, it doesn't always transfer, but he done well with a Sheffield Wednesday team that was really struggling, kept him in the Championship as well. But for me, just in the previous caller as well, John, I think saying that there's nothing to play for, we've still got the League Cup, we've still got, us and Celtic are both, well, not the best, but it's like whoever's going to be the best out of that bad bunch to win when we play them just coming up. And then obviously the Scottish Cup we still have to play, so there is still trophies there to play. We're not going to win the league, that is 100% not going to happen, but there's still two trophies to play for, so I don't get what he does that. But I think with Danny Rowe, there's a wee difference in his interviews, and he's got a wee bit more. Russell Martin always was trying to avoid being positive at something. He sounds actually, he's got a bit of positivity about him, and I think now we've got a manager in, whatever happened, we just have to back him now, and then fingers crossed he does turn into one of these hidden gems. I think John said that. Fingers crossed that's what it becomes.
That's what's interesting. See what Alan says about, you know, maybe sounding a bit more positive. Or unfortunately for Russell Martin, he's now become like the blueprint for how not to handle it. So yeah, if you're Danny Rule, you basically have to just, whatever he said, don't say those things. Do you know what I mean though? You now know you've got a real recent cast iron example of what the Rangers fans don't like, so try and give them what they do like. Now, I think we've all acknowledged it's all actually just about winning, right? And the rest falls into place thereafter. But we can't pretend Russell Martin's situation was made worse because of the things he said and the things he did, and my goodness, the things he wore and all the, you know, all the rest of it. So you now know what the Rangers fans don't like. Just don't do that stuff.
And that's why he was there wearing a Rangers blazer, a collar and tie today.
Because I think Russell Martin did that in the first press conference. Well, the real test will be on Thursday.
Yeah, the dugout.
But somebody has said to him, look, we had a problem with the last guy, and here's the problem. Now, Danny Rule has to get used to this. In Glasgow, these things are important, but the fascinating thing for us as onlookers, journalists, supporters, the fascinating thing is we have 48 hours until Danny Rowe puts a Rangers team out on the park. And I repeat, thereafter, you get your first game at Ibrox, which is Kilmarnock on Sunday. Then he has to go to Easter Road the following Wednesday, which is always a tremendous fixture. And then, heaven help us all, his first Old Firm game, four matches in. So it's great for us as onlookers and writing about it, talking about it. But for him, four crucial matches, one after the other.
See, specifically in the league, as Alan mentions, Gordon, I do wonder if there is a an opportunity there for Danny Rule, because the bar has come down, like we said. Look, at the start of a season, if you're Russell Martin or you take over Rangers and you head into a new season, you're judged on whether you can win the league. Now, nobody thinks Rangers can win the league. So your aim is to, firstly, string a couple of wins together. If Rangers go win three games in a row, everybody will get really excited about it. But it'll still only be three games. But because things are so bad, there's that room for improvement. Do you see what I mean? If Rangers could even turn this in to some sort of credible push where they go from sixth to second, whoever first may be, and they make life uncomfortable for those at the top, I think Rangers fans would swallow that, would they not?
Yeah, it could be a good start for them, because you look at the situation, you go, couldn't get any worse, right? Like, probably could, but...
Yeah, but that's the thing. I'm interested. Roger last night felt like it could get worse.
No.
It can't get worse in the league, surely.
No, not in the league. They've got to start put. They'll win games, right? I said it earlier. I'm not the greatest fan of the squad, right? I'm not going to. I totally agree with Alan. I think now he's in the hot seat. He's got to be given time, because he's going to work with players that he'd no control over whatsoever, right? Get him to January.
No pre-season either.
No pre-season. He's just got to go in. Now, the one thing you can do is you can build a platform if you're winning games. Fans won't accept anything from you if you're winning games. So first and foremost, get that confidence back, get the supporters back, start winning games, then you can build from there.
Because, by the way, no announcement. Rangers playing 2 days' time. This is what has made the last week so bizarre, because he was out the running and now back in. Rangers playing 2 days' time. There's no announcement on his backroom staff. By all accounts, the briefing, if you like, coming out of the club is that they do hope for an announcement soon. But they play in 2 days and he doesn't have a coaching staff. So we're back in that balance of, obviously, you don't get time in Glasgow and blah, blah, blah. But maybe just, that's where it's a delicate spot.
Again, I go back to on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, Andrew McLean said the business of bringing Kevin Muscat to Ibrox had not only stalled, but the whole deal was off. And 24 hours later, Danny Rowe was off a plane from Germany and in Glasgow and appointed as a new head coach. Everything else paled into insignificance, even his backroom staff, because they must have said to each other, Patrick Stewart, Andrew Kavanagh and Kevin Thirlwell, look, Muscat pulling out is a disaster for
us. You rule yourself out a job because you know you're not getting a job. It's as simple and straightforward.
I think there was anything else
and
to it.
And football management, you rule yourself out a job when you're not getting a job. It's as simple, straightforward as that. And then all of a sudden, because Muscat pulled the plug in it, they went scraping back and they've got this guy in. But I keep saying, they've got to, now Rangers fans have got to give him a bit of time now.
Thank you, Alan. What about Serge on the other line? What have you taken away from the last day or two, Serge?
Well, thanks for having me on, panel. Well, basically the last couple of days, it's just proven we've got to get behind this guy. He might not be everybody's first, second or even third choice, right? But the club is a basket case just now. Now, Danny Rowe will get time with the fans, but there's still two bogeymen that the fans just do not want at the club, and obviously one's Kevin Thirlwell and the one to a lesser extent is Patrick Stewart. Now, seeing till these two guys are gone, whether it's in stages or not, they will still be disharmed at Rangers, no matter what their results are, because they are just universally seen as, whether not being the Rangers type of men or whatever, but they are seen as a blame for Russell Martin. They are specifically seen as the two main protagonists that have got Rangers to the stage they are just now. Now, I wish Danny Rowe all the best in the world, but I'll give you a quick story, an anecdote. I try to go as much as I can, now, not as much as whatever, but I have a very good friend, he's a hospital porter, goes week in, week out, spends fortunes going to see Rangers, right? And he said to me the other day, he's never been so disenfranchised with a club in 50 years. To the fact that he's thinking about getting up his season ticket. Now, this is the fans that Rangers need to win over, know what I mean? And the American owners have got to get that Mr. Thirlwell, particularly, is not wanted at the club. And until he's gone, at the very least, even if Danny Rowe gets after a terrific start, his role will not be forgotten. Thirlwell.
It still helps it all, doesn't it? We've said it before, wins just, they can, well, it might be papering over cracks, but it does a job, because you know, it's interesting, Hugh, when you think of the last couple of months, there's a statement there that jumps out from Serge. It was never a guarantee that Rangers were going to suddenly win all their football matches, because football's just too complicated. It was never going to be a guarantee. What I think most Rangers fans hoped would be a guarantee, that the club would not be described as a basket case in October when they had a multi-million pound takeover and so much hype around it in the summer. That's the bit that has really let people down.
I'm not saying that the mood around Thelwell and Stewart will dissipate now that Danny Rowe's here, but I will say, if he beats Bran, if he beats Kilmarnock, if he beats Hibs, and if he beats Celtic, I'm not sure that everyone's attention will be preoccupied with Thelwell and Stewart.
Because, Gordon, right now, so Kevin Thelwell, recruitment, and we'll get on to him. Let's just say, whatever Danny Rowe does really suits Yusuf Tchermiti. I know it seems like a long way off, or really suits Tello Asgard, and he gets a bit of tune out of them, then the recruitment doesn't look so bad. So that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. That's why the manager, or head coach in this case, ends up taking all the flack, really. I know what Serge means, and it will take a lot to forgive Patrick Stewart and Kevin Thelwell, but you win 10 games in a row, you'll feel a lot less angry towards them than you do today. It's just a fact.
Of course, 100%. But I still don't think they'll ever go off the hook, because they didn't go out and mastermind this move to bring this coach in. It was landed to them. It was their last resort, Gordon. They're not the masters behind this. They've just basically ran out of people to bring into the club. They've ran out of people that have knocked them back. All of a sudden, they went back to a guy who withdrew from the process of being the Rangers manager and said, look, we've caught ourselves short here, and you come. Now, I wish the lad all the very, very best, and I totally agree with all the Rangers fans. Give him an opportunity. Let him, you know, get in there, see what he can do, back him, and then try and move forward. But these two guys cannot take the credit, even if it goes great.
Thank you very much to Serge. We're going to actually hear from Kevin Thelwell some very interesting stuff about the appointment of his son. I'll bring that to you next after we discuss this. Clyde One. Make me a winner. You can accuse us of many things on here, but don't say we're not good to you. £600,000 completely tax-free. That is what is up for grabs. Somebody has to win it. It might as well be you. For £2.50 plus your standard network rate, you can get 15 entries into the draw by texting YES to 61025. You can up that to 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Those texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. Or you can call 03434 269 340 and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Don't miss out. The lines close 5pm Friday, so get involved. £600,000 up for grabs. Text YES to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevan, Zan, Gordon, DL are here. Let's bring in Alistair, who's on the line in Maryhill. How are you, Alistair?
Hi, a very good evening to you indeed, Gordon. Nice to speak to you.
And you, what made you call tonight?
Thank you for bringing me on with Hugh Keevan and Gordon DL.
Now,
I've been listening
to
the programme several weeks. I've been at Ibrox for 9 in a row and right through the whole great days. I've got a feeling, and the way I feel, that the people that they brought on board to do what they're supposed to do at Ibrox has been an absolute disaster from day one. It went from bringing in the 49ers who promised everything. They got it wrong with Russell Martin. Another mistake made with Kevin Muscat. And now they're bringing in Danny Rowe. And I wish that guy all the best within reason, but I don't think he stands a chance. Because the people who are bringing in recruitment, it's not been successful. And we let Cherney go many moons ago. And Sama. And it's just not working, Gordon. I just feel that they don't know what it is to play for Glasgow Rangers when they walk out the tunnel onto the pitch. And we really need to hit this. And good luck to this boy, Danny Rowe, but I just feel it's going to come to another disaster.
Well, Gordon, there's something you've alluded to. Alistair thinks that, you know, there are recruitment issues there anyway. Now we find out, was it all Russell Martin's fault or was it not? You know, there's only, you can only give that time because he took it all. He took every single bit of the flack because he was so unpopular to begin with. He didn't win matches. He didn't endear himself to the Rangers fans.
Yeah.
So he took it all. Now we find out if there is potential in this squad. Well, I know you doubt it, but time will tell.
I think every pundit says it as well near the end of Russell Martin's reign. The players got away with murder. Scott Free, they did. Because everything was focused on Russell Martin. And Russell Martin was a poor Rangers manager. You've got to say that. So no defending that. I don't think the recruitment's good, Gordon. I really don't. The new coach coming in can show everybody, right, I can get a tune out of them. I can tweak one or two wee things, start winning games. But I look at that team and it doesn't excite me at this moment in time.
I wouldn't ask you to change your mind on that because there's no evidence. But yeah. If Russell Martin was as terrible as you think he was and everybody thinks he was, is that not generally based on a feeling that a manager isn't getting as much out of a squad as they should? Is that not, is that kind of not when a manager really comes under it? So if that's the case, why was Russell Martin getting so much stick if the players aren't better than what they showed? I think that's on him.
I think Russell Martin got a lot of stick because of sometimes of his press conferences, the things he said. I think he irritated Rangers.
Performances were terrible.
But you've still got players that have got to take responsibility, go on. Now, you're not telling me there's times Russell Martin sent a team out there, 11 players, for instance, should have went and beat Dundee at Ibrox. And I'm not being disrespectful when people can go, well, have a look at what Dundee done at weekend. But a lot of people have got Dundee going down this season. Right, Rangers are at Ibrox. They were terrible, absolutely terrible. They've played other teams and you look at a strong Rangers side and you're thinking, right, international players, players that have played at this level well before, new players coming in, signings. Majovski, for instance, come in. I think he's been miles off it. Bang off it. Paid 4 million or whatever. They've got a guy who can't get a game, 8 million going on to 10. Yeah. They've got a centre half at 3.5 million or whatever. Fernandes, I don't even know where he is.
Not made the squad in over a month,
right?
I think.
So you cannot sit here and say just now, right, let's blame Russell Martin because he couldn't get a tune out. Players have got to take responsibility.
Yes, but on the flip side of that, then, if you want to use Majovski, people would say, well, he has shown, there is concrete evidence that he can score goals in this league, and therefore, was it the manager that was holding them back?
But he's never showed it at Rangers.
But that's what I'm saying, though. But
how many players have played in Scottish League and have been brilliant and have went to clubs the size of Rangers?
Part
and
of the fascination surrounding the appointment of Danny Rowe, and it would have been the same whoever was appointed. Part of the fascination is Kasama looks to me like a real good player. And Danny Rowe has worked with him before.
Sure.
Majovski should be much better than he is. Antman, when he made his debut, you thought, oh, they've got a winner here. Danny Rowe, if he can get a tune out of these guys, is on to the beginning of something. You look at them and think, they must be, for all these players brought in, they must be better than they're showing. And in a lot of cases, there is potential for them to be a lot better than they are showing. Joe Rothwell, apparently, at the weekend, looked the part, and then, like the rest of them, he collapsed in the second half. So on.
So you're another one, Alistair, that thinks a bit more focus on Kevin Thelwell and other people in the background.
Yes.
That's unequivocal.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, and I agree with him. I honestly agree with them. I think that the Rangers fans, you know, they had their guy there, Russell Martin, and they got them out, and rightly so, and I think the Rangers fans all agreed that he had to go. He wasn't a good Rangers manager. That happens in football. But what's happening upstairs is incredible for Rangers.
Sorry to interrupt, I'm looking at the clock. Let's hear from Kevin Thelwell, who was asked today about the appointment of his son, because that's been another bone of contention for the Rangers fans.
Yeah, I think it's always uncomfortable to hear. And optically, I think we all agreed when we made this step to appoint Robbie that it was going to be seen in a particular way. But the reality of the situation is that we want to bring the very best talent here to Rangers Football Club. My view on Robbie's career, Robbie's situation, is he doesn't need my help in football. And before we recruited him, two Premier League clubs wanted to take him. Dan Purdy, who's the technical director who he will work for, wanted to take him to Everton Football Club. When I was there, I told him that that shouldn't be the case and I didn't think he was ready. But when the situation came around again and Dan wanted to take him again, it was very difficult to say no. What we did do, right at the very start of that process, was to talk to Patrick and Andrew and Parag and the board and talk to them about this situation. I was extremely transparent about that's what Dan wanted to do. And I think Robbie probably went through a more rigorous process than probably anybody else who's employed by this football club, truth be known. What I do know is that he will work 25-8 to bring success for this football club, and him and Dan work very closely together and work very well together. And I'm looking forward to him proving that he's going to be an excellent employee for Rangers.
Well, that's
did I see you write down the phrase 25-8?
Yeah.
Are you going to use that?
Yeah.
All I've seen all day is people ridicule that, and then I thought, Gordon Dale will like it.
Yeah.
You having that, Hugh? 25-8?
You know, no, I'm not. You know, he's done the commercial. Robbie Thelwell, like Danny Rule, will now have to put flesh on the bones here. Your daddy says you're absolutely first class. Now you have to prove it.
See, that's a problem for me, right? I don't care how old he is, right? See if you're great at your job. 18, 50, 70. I don't care. Hugh's 70 odds and he's absolutely murdering.
Oh, he is?
Right. But you look at this situation, the question I'd ask myself, would he be at Rangers right now, where he's been, his background, his age and everything, if that wasn't his dad?
Kevin Thelwell says yes.
The answer is no.
Well, he says yes. He says it's a Dan Purdy appointment, who's a technical director. Oh, he wasn't there today to answer the questions. It's Dan Purdy's fault.
Come on.
25-8 though.
25-8 is the best thing he said. Brilliant, I'll give him that. See the rest of it, I would rip it up and throw it in the bin. I don't think MD's buying that.
The problem that he has is that no one trusts or believes in Kevin Thelwell, and he's put Robbie Thelwell right behind the eight ball.
25-8. I'm going to wait on you using that.
That'll
sincerely
be used Saturday
in the coming days. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Sounds a bit like your record on Beat the Pundit, actually.
I was flying, then I had a disaster last week.
Quite a believable record for you. Anyway, let's do it as usual at this time. 01419511025. If you want to beat the Pundit, you have to call in before 7 o'clock, and hopefully it will give you the chance next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dyell are just into the second half of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So much was said at Ibrox today from Danny Rule, from Andrew Kavanagh, from Patrick Stewart, Kevin Thelwell. It's taking time to dissect it all and pour over it all. So what have you made of it all? Give us your thoughts now, please. And we play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Difficult tonight,
I think.
Yeah, I've just looked at the questions. Oh, difficult tonight.
That's no good.
I thought
like
they were difficult
choosing
last night. And did you hear about Andy Halliday?
A 10 out of 10. They too are terrible.
Last night, it was quite impressive. All come down to a question about toffee, did it not? Buchanan's toffee. Shirt sponsor off.
Oh, I know who that is. Morton.
It was. Well done. So anyway, that's last night's question. It's
I get that one.
Much more difficult when you don't know the questions that are coming up. Andrew is on the line. How are you, Andrew?
Yeah, I'm alright. How are you?
Good, thank you. First time on Beat the Pundit?
First time, yeah.
Good, right, okay. What do you think, confidence wise, where would you rank yourself?
I'll take Shug, I think.
Well, hold on,
I think you could take me, Andrew. It's
say,
a Tuesday.
It's a bit worrying that he's considered.
I know.
That you're considered better than you.
He's got a better win rate than me, hasn't he, Shug?
This season, yeah.
He's won 4 of his last 5. You've won 3 of your last 5. So.
You sure? Not 4?
No, I'm sure.
I don't know how he puts that sheet down.
Okay. We'll toss the coin. The blue side will be Hugh. Blue for Hugh. And red for Gordon. So it's easy to remember. Blue rhymes with Hugh. Red is the colour of Gordon's face. So that's like, it's easy to
right, okay, G.
Just to kind of match it up that mm-hmm. way. Ready? Let's do it.
Yeah, really.
Blue Hugh it is. There we go. It's Mr. Keevans up against Andrew from Clarkston. So we will give Hugh something nice and loud in his lug so he can't hear what's going on. Andrew, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Right, perfect.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Danny Rule was assistant to which Southampton manager?
Russell Martin.
Who were the last Austrian team Celtic played in Europe?
Rapid Vienna.
How many Premiership teams traditionally play in dark blue?
Two.
In what year did a Derek McInnes team last finish second?
2015.
Who's just been appointed Sweden manager?
Graham Potter.
The Blue Toon or the nickname of which club?
Newcastle.
Who is Hibs Records signing?
Canberra.
What colour is the lion on Dundee United's badge?
I'll go blue.
Okay, what are you laughing at over there in the corner?
They were quite tricky, aren't they?
I know. They're tricky tonight.
See if you just go offline here, you could be in trouble.
Oh, it's tricky. 30 seconds on the clock to Hugh Keevans. Are you ready?
I am.
Your time starts now. Danny Rowe was assistant to which Southampton manager?
Pass.
Who were the last Austrian team Celtic played in Europe?
Rapid Vienna.
How many Premiership teams traditionally play in dark blue?
Three.
In what year did a Derek McInnes team last finish second?
2014.
Who's just been appointed the new Sweden manager?
Graham Potter.
The Blue Toon or the nickname of which club?
Cowdenbeath.
Okay.
I think it's Peterhead, isn't it?
Alright, hold on a minute. When did you get a promotion? Sorry,
I know.
My apologies.
Nah, I felt that slipping away from me.
I knew you've got to go Cowdenbeath. Told you they were difficult, Chug.
They were tricky tonight. They were tricky. How do you think it went, Andrew?
I think it's close.
None of you sounded confident, if that's any indication. But I thought they were tricky. Danny Rule was assistant to which Southampton manager? Ralph Hasenhüttl.
I knew who it was, but I couldn't pronounce it.
And a great
and I just went Ralph.
My favourite fact, I hope I've got this right and some linguist is not going to tell me I'm wrong. What does Hasenhüttl translate to in English?
Hot house.
No.
Rabbit hutch.
Is it?
Imagine your surname was Rabbit Hutch.
Ralph Rabbit Hutch.
So there we go. I hope I've got that right. Ralph Hasenhüttl, none of you got it right. Who were the last Austrian team Celtic played in Europe? I'm a little bit worried about this, I have to say, because it says Salzburg on my sheet. You both sounded quite confident with Vienna.
I'd have went Vienna.
I'll do a steward's inquiry for you. And it doesn't matter because you said the same thing. We should trust the producers.
High scoring game so far.
Either way, we're level, whatever it is. How many Premiership teams traditionally play in dark blue? Let's go through them. Dundee, Falkirk. And that is it. It's two. Andrew got it. You've invented a third one.
Yeah.
Did you have one in mind, or were you just throwing a number out there?
To be honest, my mind drifted away and I couldn't really remember the question.
Okay. Good honesty.
Thank God for Graham Potter here.
Ross County would be another one who are not in the top flight anymore. Derek McInnes, the last time his team finished second, 2018, Aberdeen. Oh. None of you got it. So we stay one up to Andrew.
Yeah.
In what year? Oh no, sorry. Who's just been appointed the Sweden manager? It was Graham Potter. You both got it. Andrew stays one up. The Blue Toon is the nickname of. Go on then.
Peterhead.
Ah dear.
So Shug, you are done for. Andrew actually had the chance to really rub your nose in it, but he couldn't take it because he didn't get Peterhead either. Hibs record signing is Cleage. He scored at the weekend. Great goal that, wasn't it?
Good
player. Maybe starting to show.
He's a good player.
You know, it took him a little while to get in the team.
He's a good player.
You impressed with him?
Yes.
What do you like about him?
I just like his all-round ability. I think he's a player that can light up the Easter Road. Mm-hmm. I think once he really settles into the team, I think he'll be a brilliant signing for him.
You even had time, Andrew, to get the colour of the lion on Dundee United's badge wrong.
Come on,
what would you think?
I would say orange, tangerine.
No, black. It was one of the two, wasn't it?
Okay,
it's black. Andrew said blue. Andrew, you didn't need it. You did not need it at all. You have got a 2-1 victory over Hugh Keevans. They all count. You happy with that?
Yeah, buzzing with that. Cheers.
Listen, If Celtic go and get a 2-1 against Sturm Graz, they would take it, Hugh, would they not?
Oh, without doubt.
If Rangers can get a 2-1 in Bran,
yeah,
take it all day long. Andrew, you're a Celtic fan, aren't you?
Celtic fan, yeah.
Can't imagine you're too enthused about things at the moment. Would that be fair?
No, not at all, man. Terrible.
What's happening?
No, I'm going on Thursday as well, but I'm not looking forward to it.
I think that's going to be the first intrigue, Hugh, is at least Andrew's going. He can't be bothered with it, but he's going. How many others will follow? That'll be the first intrigue almost, you know.
Yeah.
How does this flatness turn around?
They're in serious trouble. They don't have a good team. They don't have a squad with any strength and depth. The football's boring. And now, following a home defeat last time out in Europe, here comes another one, potentially. There's widespread disillusionment. Andrew's going, but many will not. On Thursday night, I think they'll be lucky to get 30,000-35,000. And there's all sorts going on. I read Callum McGregor this morning saying that disharmony is affecting the club. Well, hang around. It might get worse yet.
I mean, Gordon, I don't think you would find a Celtic fan who's buzzing about, you know, Thursday. There's just, as Andrew says, there's, you know, just not a lot getting them going at the moment. And that's probably the best case scenario. Best case scenario is flat. Worst case scenario is this is all unravelling.
Yeah, take my hat off to Andrew. They're a terrible watch. Absolutely terrible. I thought they stunk the place out at the weekend. And all credit to Dundee. I think they've got so many players off for them. Hugh's quite right when he says they're not at this moment a good team. They're good individual players there. Of that, there's no doubt. You can't question that. But as a team, they're all over the place. They never looked like scoring. You know, see when Dundee go 1-0 up, you're thinking, okay, if it goes to half-time, it's one. Even at 2-0, I'd expect Brendan Rodgers to get in there, have a few strong words, change one or two things, get the next goal, and all of a sudden they're back in. They never looked like getting back in the game.
Could be much worse too. First game of the season, St Mirren at Celtic Park. They got a fluky goal from Luke McCowan to get a 1-0 win. Kilmarnock, they got a penalty that was later shown not to be a penalty. And Iheanacho got them 3 points that day. Motherwell, but for a mistake at Celtic Park by the Motherwell goalkeeper, which put Celtic on 2-2. And then Daizen Maeda got a goal at the very end. It could be even worse than it is now. But Dundee on Sunday for me was a watershed moment. It was awful.
I get where Hugh's coming from, but the list of things that actually have gone wrong is sort of convincing enough without worrying about the what ifs. Because to be fair, you could say the last European game, the Iheanacho decision should have gone the other way, and then maybe things feel a bit different. So let's not worry too much about the what ifs. You add into that Brendan Rodgers' response on Sunday. There's only so much time on the airwaves, Hugh. There's only so much room in the column inches. Rangers have just appointed a new head coach, and it's the biggest story in town, and that's the way the food chain works. But for Brendan Rodgers to describe his team as being a Honda Civic and him being asked to drive it like a Ferrari, Brendan, I thought that was incredible at the weekend.
Brendan's not getting a free pass anymore. There are many supporters who are now seriously disillusioned with the way Celtic play football. I know there's complaints over the recruitment at Celtic Park and the board are getting it in the neck for that one. But Brendan Rodgers has now come in to the forefront of the fans' minds. They don't like the football. They find Celtic boring to watch. And he could be... I mean, we talk about Danny Rule over the next four games. Brendan Rodgers over the next four games had better be careful.
The problem with Brendan Rodgers, he's got to get pull out the long grass. I think he gets away with hiding behind this situation with the Celtic supporters on the board, right? I think there's, as much as I agree with the Celtic supporters, let me say that first and foremost, I wouldn't be happy with the board either. But when you concentrate on the main thing on the pitch, I don't look at any Celtic player right now that's in top form. I really don't. And I said they've got good individual players, but as a team, they're all over the place just now.
Is there a middle ground though? Because it's almost like we have to, we always do this, we can only blame one person. And, you know, now all of a sudden, well, let's shift focus to Brendan Rodgers. Well, it's bound to just be a combination, because I know what you're going to say. This is your biggest war cry. Yeah. No matter what state Celtic's recruitment's in, you should still be able to beat Dundee. And mm-hmm. I totally get that. They mm-hmm. would be massive, overwhelming favourites. At the same time, if you're not in a great place and things aren't quite clicking and there is a bit of discontent, you do need more, with no disrespect to him, than to have to turn to Johnny Kenny at half time to win the game, don't you? If you're talking about Celtic being the best version of themselves, mm-hmm. now I know what you're going, I get it, because they should, they're Dundee and the budget.
Look at the millions they've got on the bench.
I know that, but I'm talking about if you're trying to be the best version of of yourself, the gaps that have appeared in quality for Celtic.
Look, I agree with that. I just said that 2 minutes ago. I agree with the fans, with the board. I think should have been better quality brought in. But take all that aside, that was for Europe, Gordon, because you got up a level in Europe. Yeah. You got up against better players. And I'm not being disrespectful to Dundee. They worked brilliantly, tactically, spot on, well done to Stephen Presley and his players. But domestically, mm-hmm. you're looking at that squad, they should be doing a lot, lot better.
Everyone gets the blame, the board and the manager. But you're starting matches with Anthony Ralston, honest pro, etc., limited footballer. Yang, never in his life will he be a Celtic player. And then, as you say, Johnny Kenny comes on with the 34-year-old James Forrest. Where once upon a time you had Kun, Kyogo and Jota, you've now got Balakwisha, Tunekte.
They paid £5 million for Balakwisha.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, he, like Yang, will never, ever be a Celtic player.
I think is what we're seeing here as well is, if you've got a couple of those gaps and the quality's mm-hmm. dropped at a time when all the reliables are not mm-hmm. so reliable anymore, then that, you know, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Callum McGregor, Kasper Schmeichel.
The team has a very tired, jaded look about it. Every player on the park.
How do you change that quickly?
Well, you don't.
Because there was a school of thought.
Numerically, it's impossible.
There was a school of thought that maybe, you know, the Daizen Maeda last minute winner, Celtic have built their success in recent seasons on finding those moments where you pop up and you get something and it revitalises everybody. The very next game, they go and
You come out with a great question. How do you change that, right? It's the same as people are now thinking, new coach coming into Rangers, he'll get a tune out of these players who have been rotten, right? So Brendan Rodgers has got to change something somewhere along the line. I think there's too many good players at Celtic individually. If you pick them individually, you think, oh, he's a good player. He's a good player. He can play at that standard. No problem. Dundee and everything like that. Now, you wouldn't rule it out going to Hearts and winning. But right now, I'm with you. If you had your last 2 pence, you're sticking on Hearts all day long, because Hearts will fancy that. You know, looking forward to Celtic coming to their patch, the way they're playing.
Celtic have to get through Thursday first. Yeah. Let's bring in Charlie Hughes. We're a bit pressed for time. Go on, Charlie.
Hi, guys. I was listening to a conversation here. I was actually about to talk about Greg Taylor mm-hmm. Coming back to Celtic. He doesn't seem to be a game out in Greece. And there was reports that he's kind of not happy. He's still thinking about Scotland because his family and that's back here. I would have him back in a heartbeat. I would have him in a head Kieran Tierney. I would have Moura in ahead of Kieran Tierney as well, to be honest. So that was kind of where I think. I was hoping that we'd Greg Taylor come back. Do you think there's any chance of him coming back, is my question?
Well, the way Celtic go about their business, probably not. But he has been one of the most significant misses for Celtic this season. And it's a shame for Kieran Tierney, but Marcelo Cerracci should play instead of Kieran Tierney. And the sooner that Alistair Johnston gets in to replace Anthony Ralston, the better. Whether, you know, Greg Taylor can't take on the mantle of the man who saved Celtic, but he has been desperately missed. But as I say, the way they go about the transfer business, no, he won't be back.
I agree with you, Hugh. I don't think you can look at Greg Taylor. And I like Greg Taylor. I thought he was absolutely terrific with Celtic. He came in for a bit of flack now and again, but I thought he'd done a real good, steady job for Celtic. But bringing Greg Taylor back ain't going to solve Celtic's problems right now.
It runs deeper.
Because the full team, there's a problem with the full team. Not one of those players are playing at the, you know, the highest level that they can play at.
Charlie, Are you of a mind that this can still turn around quite quickly, or are you worried that this is the start of an unravelling?
I think cycles happens in a lot of teams, and a good board or a good recruitment department kind of minimises the hit of that cycle, you know, they keep it fresh constantly. There's no doubt. I think Celtic's biggest problem this year has been the period of flux, if you like, the instability or the irregularity up front. We were going to go with Ida, and Yamada was going to be his backup, and then the A2 proved to be any good. We had Johnny Kenny at the end of last season. I personally think he's started the season. And then we brought in Iheanacho. So there's constant, it's like Brendan Rodgers is grasping, you know what I mean? It's like somebody, he's grasping for some answer.
I think we've seen enough from Johnny Kenny to, what makes you think he could be the kind of, you know, main man in such an important position? We've seen enough from him.
Yeah, well, I think a few times he come out. I think he'd done in 5 minutes what Adam Eder couldn't have done in 5 games. You know, and if you look at his goals per minute, he's probably up there with everybody else at the club at the moment. He's just not getting a chance.
Well, I see, with no disrespect to Johnny Kenny, I see nothing there to suggest that he should be an automatic first team choice for Celtic. He's brought on as an act of desperation. That dates back to the cup final last May against Aberdeen. What was once a very good Celtic team has now become an extremely mediocre Celtic team on the back of selling the quality and bringing in mediocrity.
Striking position might just sum it all up, Gordon, because what happened was so much negativity, transfer deadline day, you all know the story, Iheanacho, free agent, but all of a sudden comes in, actually looks okay. You clearly got a pedigree there. So maybe people then get their hopes up. But very quickly, again, you realise that it's one thing being able to do a job, it's another being like the only real option that you've got. Now, I appreciate that Dyson Maeda was out injured at the weekend, but the notion that Iheanacho could go from free agent, signed after deadline day, to playing every minute of every game and carrying all your attacking hopes for the rest of the season, it's very quickly been... Yeah, showing up to the
case. And it's certainly showing, you're right, because look, it's very difficult. It's hard to judge a lad. You're talking about Johnny Kenny coming on and he's not had a great run of games. I don't think if you're putting all your eggs in your one basket with Johnny Kenny, you ain't going to win the league. Let me be honest with that. And I'm with you. I'm not being disrespectful. I think he can come off the bench. I think in odd games he can do your turn, but he's not the answer to Celtic up front. But incredibly as well, Gordon, you look at the right hand side for Celtic. They went back to Yang again. Now, Hugh has never been a fan, and I've always said, look, give somebody a chance. I totally agree with him 100%. He never takes that chance. And on Sunday, when they come out at half-time, James Forrest is playing like a half-right back. And I'm looking at the shape of Celtic, and I'm not criticising Brendan Rodgers, brilliant coach, but they're all over the place. It was just like throwing players on, hoping somebody was going to do something. That's where Celtic are just now.
Thank you, Charlie. Any further thoughts on the European games coming up this weekend, this midweek, sorry, get them into us. We're going to reflect more, I'm sure, on everything that happened at Danny Rule's unveiling today. So get the calls in. We'll speak to you soon.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here, so is Gordon DL. Both waiting patiently though for you to get in touch. Give us your thoughts, let us know what's on your mind. We've even got some big championship games tonight as well. Very keen to hear how you feel about just the managerial masterclass being put on by your old partner in crime, Mark Wilson, these days.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Get top spot in the championship in their sights, do you think?
100%.
Tough game tonight though against Ayr.
Yeah, but they'll fancy it, they're at home. He's going brilliantly, I've got to say, riding his luck incredibly well.
Bet he doesn't pick the phone up to you very often anymore.
Absolutely not a chance. Never. I don't hear him. Not at all. I had a game of golf with him about, what, 5 weeks ago.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there, sat there, gave me all the tactics.
Never picked up the phone.
Went
again
on a wee run, never hear from him. I gave him his big break when he was absolutely nothing at Airdrie, and now he just blanks me.
He texted in.
Come on here.
He texted in about Danny Rowe last night, actually. So it's good to see he's still,
did he?
Still engaged.
Saying why was I not?
Ah, exactly. I think he's getting above his station. Right, I've got a teaser for you before I bring in Paul on the line. Thanks to Cameron for sending this in. Since the start of the century, 8 Germans have played for Celtic or Rangers? Clearly a nod to Danny Rule. Since the start of the century, 8 Germans have played for Celtic or Rangers. Quick reminder, if you like the sound of that, you think you could come up with a question that will test the pundits, that's the aim of the game on the full-time teaser, you email it in, fulltime@clyde1.com.
Was Stefan Klauser? Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. Go on, Hugh.
Which part of Stefan Klauser did you think maybe didn't?
The timeline. Oh, right,
okay. No, he was here for the first 7 years of the century.
Yeah. Fullback at Celtic, what was his name?
Fullback at Celtic?
Yeah.
Marco Wilson.
No.
It was his pal, though.
Right. There's a few, and I'm seeing them, and I can't even remember their names. Come on, Chug.
I know, I'm trying.
Well, try harder. Goodness sake. I've already started you off here.
Come on. Don't like silence. Doesn't work well on radio.
Yeah.
Famously works poorly on radio.
It does. It does. And I'm trying to get Hughes sorted here. Oh. Stefan, the fullback Celtic was Stefan.
No.
Was it not? I'm just going Stefan's now.
Is Andy Tom on this list?
He is.
Andy
not,
Tom.
This century.
Oh. You're joking.
I'm not joking. Do you know what's funny about this? Producer Jay said to me earlier, he obviously knows you better than I do. He said, "Do you think this teaser's a bit too difficult for those two?" And I looked at the answers and I said, "No." I said, "I think they'll be fine."
I was going to say Stephen May, but he's not.
He's French,
yeah. But that's not far from Germany.
Right, I'll get back to you. Paul is on the line. Paul, bring some sense to this show, please.
Goodness.
Good evening, Gordon and Hugh. Hello. Got a couple of points that kind of run into each other.
Go for it.
First of all, I think the recruitment, obviously, we spoke about recruitment all day long, right? And the thing is, I think a lot of the Celtic fans were focused on Europe with the recruitment because we're on our way with everything domestically. It's no, obviously, right? But it's created a lack of competition for players on the field for the positions. And as we talked about yesterday, Brendan Rodgers, one of the most media savvy managers, to come out with the comments that he did about Honda Civics and whatever else, he's starting to lose his composure here. And as Dazzler says, he's been hiding behind this whole, protests against the board, the lack of investment and everything else. I think she was absolutely right. He should be getting a tune out of these players. We've got more than enough money sitting on the bench. And if it hadn't been for the lack of recruitment and whatever else, and we're still playing this way, it'd have been on a sugary nail long before this. As Hugh said, he's got just as much time as Danny Rule to really show his colours, I think.
What areas concern you competition-wise, Paul? Because there should, in theory, be competition in midfield now. It's not working, right? But, I mean, you've got Ingles and Bernardo and McCowan generally on the bench. There should be competition there. Are there other areas that worry you?
Well, you're absolutely right there. How come some of these players like Bernardo, who, we signed for $3 million, we thought he was an absolute bargain, isn't he getting a game? I don't know. But, the right wing, we've got Yang and Forrest. We've got Konecki on the left, which is fine. Balakrisha, I don't rate him at all. Kieran Tierney's playing because he was the big star signing, the boys coming back home and everything else. But, I guess I'd rather have Greg Taylor. At the moment, I think his positioning Greg Taylor was much better. Cameron Carter-Vickers has been well off it. If you look at him on the ball sometimes, he doesn't know where he's gone with it. He's made some really... He's got away with a few. So I think he needs some real competition. And there's this boy for Manchester City, Pusey. Mm-hmm. When's he going to get a chance to play?
Well, you have to assume, Paul, that Brendan Rodgers simply does not rate him. But for me, Brendan Rodgers' credibility plummeted when Kairat Almaty happened. Not to score a goal in 3.5 hours against a team ranked 311th in the world. That was the start of the problem. Sunday was startling because, again, I'm not comparing Dundee with Kairat Almaty, but Celtic ought to have a team capable of going there and not losing 2-0. But for me, the quality of the squad is declining at an alarming rate.
I don't think Balakwisha or Tunekte in the long term will be of any use to Celtic.
Even you've written Tunekte off now. I know he's definitely not been as good the last couple. I accept that, but we must give him something.
He flattered at the start, but now it's deception rather than flattery.
Jeez.
He's not going to be a man who will pull you out of any trouble. Iheanacho is beginning to look left and right of him and think, what's happening here? I think the squad is declining at an alarming rate. I think there should be concern about Sturm Graz on Thursday. Very definite concern about what could happen to Celtic at Tynecastle on Sunday. Then they've got Falkirk at home. John McGlynn picks out these strange results from time to time. He cost Russell Martin his job. And then the Old Firm game at Hampden. The next four games for Brendan Rodgers and Celtic are, for me, every bit as important as Rangers' next four games under a brand new head coach.
I think some of those ones, Gordon, to acknowledge what you said about should still have enough to beat Dundee and so on. But Paul's mentioning some names there. Whoever's fault it is, whether it's Brendan Rodgers or whoever, Michael Nicholson and the people in the recruitment staff, whatever, that debate just rages on in the background. Simpson Pusey has literally contributed nothing. So he's been recruited by somebody to come and do something to the squad. I'm not saying he goes in and changes Celtic's fortunes, but he's literally nowhere near it. Previous caller mentioned Inamura, Shin Yamada. You know, we're talking about really not even nudging it in any sort of positive direction. I actually, for some reason, the word of the night for me has been sympathy. I always felt that for Celtic to keep pushing the boundaries in Europe is hard. I think there's a ceiling there. I think there just is. I don't think you can just keep getting better and better and better in Europe. I think that's going to be very difficult working with the resources that they've got. But to decline domestically the way they have is unthinkable.
There's probably one or two more in there that we've actually forgotten about, which shows you there's such a divide between board,
Callum Osmond, the other striker that was brought in.
Exactly. The divide between the board, the recruitment, obviously Brendan Rodgers, and it's not going well for Celtic in the pitch. It's okay if you're Celtic and you're out there in a league campaign. You'd imagine with the players in the squad they've got that can get through all these games. Of course you can, because they've still individually got good players. But every one of them just now, you couldn't pick a Celtic player just now and go, he's at top of his form. Not one of them. Absolutely not one of them. So it is a bit worrying for Celtic, as far as I'm concerned, as a team going forward. And Brendan Rodgers has got to take responsibility for that. I know that he's not happy with the recruitment, that he wanted better players in or whatever it may be to go and challenge in Europe. There's nothing up with that. You're an ambitious coach. You've seen what happened last year. He was one game away from winning the treble. Everybody says in the Champions League it was a good campaign. So it was exciting for them. Okay, it's not worked this year, but he's still got enough there that he should be winning.
Even if
games.
You argue over the personnel, the style of football, and I'd invite Paul to agree or disagree with this one, the style of football that Celtic play is boring the fans to death, Paul.
Yes, absolutely. And this is what I was saying about the players competing for the positions. You mentioned Tynecki, and he came on and we thought, oh, is this Jota point two? You know, the issue is, though, is his only real competition out there is Jota, because Balakwisha isn't going to play over him. Daza Maeda is going to be playing through the middle or on the right if he's fit, because who would you start? Yang, Forrest, or Maeda? Any actual is going to be through the middle.
I would start who, me before Yang.
But that's what I mean. They must be looking around. Tynecki must be looking around going, well, how does he keep up his level of performance if no one's competing with him? And I'm just using him as an example because you brought it up there about he flattered at the beginning, because there's no one else. It's the same with all the different areas of the park.
I don't think it's because nobody's competing with him. I understand what you're saying. I think it's because of the way Celtic are playing.
Yeah, but I think he is then having all these guys are then having to carry the entire burden. It's like what I said about Iheanacho. Tynecki looked like he'd hit the ground running, but he's now.
I think he's a player. I think he's a player. I think if Celtic start firing all cylinders, you'll see the best of him. I think, listen, probably wingers, they need everyone, the middle of the park, the full-backs, everything getting involved, and they become the confident players. I've seen enough in him ability-wise to say he could be a real good player for Celtic. But just now, he's not alone. I said earlier, I don't see one player playing at the top of your game.
Thursday night, Paul, what do you... How much importance do you put on that? Because it feels like if you had to pick, Celtic fans now want to kind of climb the league table and so on, but just it feels like every game now the spotlight comes on.
I've got no confidence going into Thursday. I genuinely feel like I should have been compensated for watching that rubbish over at the weekend there for my time. I mean, all right, I'll watch it on Thursday. The problem, I don't expect us to win. I think we might be lucky to get away with a draw. But what really matters is what happens against Hearts. That's really, really what matters right now, because I've got, even if we beat Stimgrats, it doesn't matter. Like, as you said, there's a ceiling. There's no, I think, there's not really any hope in Europe. Hopefully, I'm proved wrong.
Yeah, that's a heck of a slide, Hugh. I know things are bad, and I get that, but.
Yeah.
Everybody keeps saying it. Bayern Munich 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Sturm Graz. Now, they beat Rangers, but we've obviously spent the last couple of months talking about how bad Rangers have been. I thought just based on the eye test, even in Celtic's current state, if they can't believe that they can beat Sturm Graz at home, that's worse than I thought.
Well, I'm with Paul. I see no reason to go overboard and say Celtic will definitely win that match, because I could not, in all honesty, say they will.
Neither would I, but do you know what I mean? In terms of, you know, lucky to win and stuff, that things are bad then, if that's the case.
Because you're getting that game firm favourites. Let's be honest about it. But the way Celtic are going, I agree with you, that's not a gimme now. That'll be a difficult game, because I think you touched on it earlier. If Celtic start off that pedestrian football that they're playing just now, the fans will soon
be... The crowd will turn.
Yeah, 100%.
I summarise it, Paul. They sold quality, they bought mediocrity, and this is what you get.
Do you think that is a personnel thing? I keep bringing this up because I'm looking... I genuinely want, educated by people like you, who you know, football management and having played... I, as a layman, cannot accept that Brendan Rodgers now is trying to play differently from he played against Bayern Munich. Right, if we're talking about Europe then, let's make this all about Europe. I cannot accept that, because nobody in their right mind would do that.
Right.
I assume he's trying to play that same way, and there was nothing wrong with the style then, and there is now. So is it personnel? And I'm not trying to exonerate Brendan Rodgers, but that to me seems like it must be. Or then has everything just changed and he needs to find solutions, he needs to do something differently?
I think it's the latter. I think everything's just changed. Because his players aren't deliberately going out there and trying playing slow pedestrian football.
And he cannot possibly be advising that.
No, he didn't do it a couple of months ago. But teams are now looking at Celtic and they're setting up. You hear Stephen Presley talking about tactics and how he set up and worked in the international break to frustrate Celtic, give them the possession, let them play in front of them. They've got to find a way. Brendan Rodgers has got this tag of being a brilliant coach. Now, when it's not going right for you with the players you've got to find a way to go and win games.
Thank you, Paul. You make some good points. We'll see what happens in the coming days. How are you two faring? In fact, terribly is the answer.
No, I've got your
Andy,
full
bit. Andy Hinkle.
Ah, I've got that as well.
So we're looking for, since the start of this century, 8 Germans who've played for Celtic or Rangers. Andy Hinkle is correct. You already have Stefan Kloss.
Christian Nerlinger.
Okay, yes. What are you doing?
You get any left?
Yes, I've got one.
It's a team effort anyway.
I've got one.
Go on then.
He played about 45 minutes, I think, against Morton.
Uh-huh.
Left centre-back Compere.
Marvin Compere. Well done. We'll get the rest and more calls if you so wish when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Quick old show tonight, but Hugh Evans and Gordon Dale are still here for your gentle abuse, if you so wish. And we've got a teaser very quickly. Can you name 8 Germans who've played for Celtic or Rangers since the turn of the century: Christian Nerlinger, Stefan Kloss, Marvin Kompare, and Andy Hinkle.
I can't believe we never got this one.
Oh,
Nicholas Kuhn.
Nicholas Kuhn, well done.
Oh, of course.
And the hammer, Albert.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like perhaps the most obvious one is missing, but not anymore. George Albert. Two to get. Let's bring in Martin on the line. Hi, Martin.
Good evening, lads.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good, what are you thinking?
I was on after the cup final, if you remember, and it was on about Yang and all the rest that was on the benches. You agreed. We've seen through it then. It wasn't strong enough. And I think what Brendan Rodgers was in the digger was the board about the car, the Civic. He, in other words, he was given the players and he's got to deal with them. I keep hearing you saying that there should be enough in the bench, there should be enough to beat these teams. There isn't. They're no good enough, none of them.
No, as I say, the decline is alarming. The cup final ought to have been the red flag, but they spent the summer refusing to play the market properly, tried to bluff their way into the Champions League, did not replace the quality that had gone out the door. The year 2025 has been spent getting rid of absolutely top-class Celtic players and replacing them with mediocrity. And now you reap what you sow. Even the cup final wasn't a wake-up call for either Brendan Rodgers or the board or both. And Kairat Almaty will live with them for many years to come. And now they're in trouble because they can't change anything until the January window opens. And who would you trust to buy a player for Celtic, given the recent record?
Martin, I've got no doubt that was the point Brendan Rodgers was trying to make. I think that's very clear. He was trying to say to the board that he's not been given a good enough team for it to play the way he wants it to. That's the whole point of the car analogy. The problem some people have with it is, how can that also not be aimed at the players? You're essentially telling your playing squad that they're not good enough. Is there not a danger in that?
Well, to be honest, they aren't, really, are they? They're just young. That boy shouldn't be washing dishes at Celtic Park.
Well, we don't need to get personal, but he's never, ever. Why, when I saw the team to start at Dundee, I thought, how can you realistically start a game with Yang when everyone can see that he is nowhere near, he's not good enough to play for any team in the Premiership, far less Celtic?
What did you make of the comment about the car?
Strange.
Do you see what I mean? Is that not very pointed at the players as well?
Because
I know Martin's saying, he's like, well, we're not good enough. And we're all saying it. We're all saying there's gaps in the squad. But to say that, you know, basically I've been given this substandard squad, it's very general, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is very strange. I don't think it would go down well with the players listening to the manager. But I think the manager has been very clever lately. Look, there's no doubt, and he's come up here, be very successful, and everybody looks at him as a top manager, top coach, whatever you want to call him. But I think lately, all he does is hide behind the situation with the fans and the board. Yes, I think that everybody's disappointed with the quality that Celtic recruited in the summer. There's no doubt, and how late it took for them to get players in. I get all that. But I'm sorry, you look at a Dundee squad against a Celtic squad, you should still put in a better performance, no doubt whatsoever. And you can forget about, oh, well, they had to play Yang. But you're talking about Ralston. Ralston's an international that's played over 100 games for Scotland. So
for Celtic.
For Celtic, sorry. I have my apologies to you. But he's a Scottish internationalist. You look at right through the team, Tierney's, Carter Vickers, McGregor, serial winners, guys like Hatate that talk about big money. You're looking at £5 million players on the wing. Now, ideal, it's not great for Celtic because they haven't kicked on. But domestically, and I'm not being disrespectful, they should be able to go to Dundee and put in a better performance for me.
But I think those days have gone now, because everyone can now see that they are substandard in almost every position, and the next 10 weeks until the window opens
could be tortuous for Celtic domestically and in Europe. And I repeat, who would you trust to bring in players in the January transfer window? Because the dealings in the transfer market are now becoming more and more bizarre and unfathomable.
Final word to you, Martin.
I was just going to say that to you there. I was on during the transfer window and I said that the board were going to pick the players because Brendan Rodgers had to commit itself. So are they going to buy players that the new manager will only want? It's not going to happen in the winter, the January window either, is it?
It's going to be an interesting, going to say a few months ahead, a few days ahead though. It's all going to come very thick and fast. Don't want to wish our lives away, but kind of wait for Tynecastle. But then that could look very differently if Celtic lose to Sturm Graz or batter Sturm Graz 5-0. We'll see what happens. So looking forward to that. Thank you very much to Martin. He will bring the curtain down as far as the callers go. Just a bit of housekeeping for you two to tidy up. Thanks again to Cameron for sending his full-time teaser in. The address is fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name 8 Germans who've played for Celtic or Rangers since the turn of the century? Christian Nerlinger, Stefan Kloss and George Alberts of Rangers, Nicholas Kuhn, Marvin Compere and Andreas Hinkle of Celtic.
Many Celtic Rangers were still.
No Rangers remaining.
Celtic. Here I'm struggling.
I'm not surprised you're struggling with these two.
Give us a wee clue.
Well, they would be similar to Marvin Compere in era.
As one a defender.
And neither really made. Well, what to be fair, what one had a bit more of an impact than the other, but
one a defender?
Both defenders.
I can see him.
One fullback, one centre back. I think you've got more chance of the centre back. Played a bit more.
Jens Lenz.
Yeah, Jens Lenz.
Jens Lenz, whatever.
Moritz Jens.
Jens. That's him.
I don't hold out much hope for you. No. So, right back from the 2019 period. So, it's just prior to COVID that sort of Brendan Rodgers is gone.
Initials.
JT. You're not far off.
Toljan.
We're back tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Have a good one.